Thank God for mothers that are trying to raise their children by themselves. I pray for them, but how many have fathered children and walked away? Left them to someone else. My God, the suffering in the world. In the second chapter of the book of Jonah, we find the sufferings of Jonah. I'm going to read from the first chapter, first verse. Follow along with me if you will. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. And Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The 15th verse. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from the raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. First verse of the second chapter. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish's belly. The 10th verse. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and he vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. First verse of the third chapter. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I'm going to conclude the reading there. I mentioned about suffering in the world, a hurting world, but I'd like to begin up in the sufferings of Jonah. His sufferings were for a different reason altogether than what I have mentioned about these others. He was a preacher that disobeyed God. That's the wrong step already. Secondly, we find out that not only that, but he decided to leave the ministry and do his own thing. That's really a way to get into trouble. And he ended in a predicament, a situation such that we have never known before. He had an underwater roller coaster ride. And as far as I know, it's the only recorded one that the person doing was part of it came out alive. No one has ever had the trip that Jonah took. And some of the days that scholars, and I mentioned this about the sufferings of Jonah, a lot of today's scholars that are liberal thinkers and the rest, liberal theologians, they do not believe the story of Jonah. They say that marine science has told them that there is no fish in the sea that is capable of swallowing a man whole. And if there happened to be a fish that large in the sea that no man could live in the belly of a whale for 3 days and 3 nights. And so they have taken this story in the Bible and said that it's an allegory, that God has placed it there for a purpose so that people will realize that he uses a story like this, although it's not real. He uses a story like this so that people will be obedient to the Lord. So I'd like to give you my thoughts to begin with. I am not a liberal, and I'm not even a theologian. But I want everyone to understand this. God said that Jonah was swallowed by a large fish. God said it happened. And if God said it happened, it happened. God is not a man that he can lie. God's word is true. I believe it. Anointed with the Holy Ghost, holy men of old spoke and began to write as they were anointed by the Holy Ghost. I believe the Bible. I believe it because it's God's word. Because he said it. But there's another reason that I believe it. Because 58 years ago, at an old-fashioned altar, God came to my side, came to me where I was, and I came to him. He washed my sins away. He forgave me. He saved me. He turned me Christ Jesus. And when I went up the steps that Sunday night with my wife to go to that Church of Sinners of God in Mountain Home, Idaho, I was lost and undone. I was without God or Son. I was headed for hell. But when I walked down those steps, I was a new man in Christ Jesus, saved by grace through faith. Amen. I'm saved today because of the mercies of God. I believe the book of Jonah. I believe the story of Jonah. I believe it because I believe God. In fact, there are so many outstanding stories that I've heard of late in the Bible that I've heard some of late saying that they do not believe them. They do not believe the things like that happen. And God has just used them as sort of like parables for us to learn from the story. Let me just run down two or three before I come to the sermon proper. I believe that the children of Israel, some 3 million strong, were delivered from bondage out of Egypt in one night. Not long after that, I believe they walked across the Red Sea on dry ground. Because the Bible said so. I believe there came a time in Joshua's life, he was fighting against the enemy, that he realized that if I just had some more time, I believe I could defeat the enemy. We'll have the victory if I just had some more time. I've just mentioned God delivering the children of Israel some 2 to 3 million strong out of the bondage and getting them to cross the Red Sea on dry ground when he opened the waters. Let me share this with you. This is a great American in all of that. Joshua just needed some time, and so he prayed and said, "Son, stand still." I don't believe Joshua was an astronomer in astronomy or astrology or whatever. I don't believe he really understood all he was saying. But it didn't make any difference. He had a big God. Whatever was needed, he knew that God could supply. When he said, "Son, stand still," that put the brakes on the universe. Everything. And the Bible said there's never been a day like it. God stopped everything in his place, and Joshua went on about his business and won the victory. And then the sun went down. Never been a day like it in all of history. Brother, you talk about a miracle, and I believe it just like it is. I believe that Peter came off out of the boat, went on the other side when the Lord said, "Come on." I believe Peter walked on the top of the water. I believe that Jesus delivered from demon, demonic depression and all the rest. I believe every story in the Bible, without exception. I believe if you and I had been standing there, we would have seen Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with the Lord Himself walking with them. I believe we would have stood outside when they came out of there and realized they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. The eyebrows weren't even singed. I was going to help my barbecue grill one day. It wasn't that thumb thing wasn't getting the job done. So I got a match to help it out, and when I threw it in there, it came out. I was standing far enough away to thank God. That was not too wise. Don't ever try. But they came out of there because God was with them. And I can tell you story after story in the Bible, folks. If the Bible says it, believe it. Whatever it is. And the Bible says in this story about Jonah, and I'm going to try to preach three things concerning his relationship with God. I have no problem believing the story. Not only did Jonah have a divine call to preach, God gave him the message. And I, when I was preparing and I wrote that down, I thought, God, I know God called me to preach. Then he confirmed it that very night in more than one way. I know that God called me to preach, but I'll just leave something with you in case you don't understand a preacher. I wish I could tell you that every time it's time for me to preach, that God gives me exactly what he wants me to preach. You might say, "Well, Brother Jones, doesn't he?" And I'll tell you, I'll answer that question. No, he doesn't. Sometimes you read and you pray and you study and you go with the best thing you know and ask God to anoint it. It would be so easy. on Sunday night, after service on Sunday night, then I go home, and I'm already thinking about the Wednesday night Bible study and about the next Sunday. It'd be so easy that God would say, get your pen out, Ben. I want this on Sunday morning and this on Sunday night. And if you'll just keep that pen out, I'll tell you what to say. Man, wouldn't that be something? In case you don't understand it, that doesn't happen too often. But God called Jonah to the ministry, and then God gave him the message, and then God told him where to go. But listen, if you will, the Bible says that Jonah, rather than wanting to do what God had to do, he wanted to do what Jonah wanted to do. Let me say that again. Jonah wanted to do what he wanted to do, rather than what God wanted him to do. You want to get in trouble, do your own thing, and don't go God's route. So many people in the Holy Church, and I say this humbly as I know how, so many people in the Holy Church, and I was raised in the Holy Church, so many have been raised in the Spirit and enjoyed the blessings of God, had the anointing of God, God was good, and in the course of time has watched this one and this one, and first thing you know, they've gone the ways of the world. They wanted to do their thing rather than what God wanted. They want to please self rather than please God, and Jonah got in trouble for wanting to go his own route. And the Bible says, God told him to go to Nineveh. He went down to Joppa and boarded a ship headed for Tarshish. I'm going to demonstrate. From where Jonah was, God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. And rather than going to Nineveh, he went down to Joppa. Down to Joppa, the Bible says. He boarded a ship and was headed for Tarshish, which was on the Atlantic coast of Spain. Far as he could go in Europe. Supposed to go to Nineveh, the capital city, and Assyria on the Tigris River, but it went there. So I have the first part of the sermon. Anytime people disobey God, they go D-O-W-N. When Jonah disobeyed God, he went down to Joppa. The same verse, second verse of that chapter shows that he went down to Joppa and then he got that ticket and went down into the boat. And when the storm came up and they all realized it was Jonah's fault, they cast him overboard and he went down into the waters of the sea. And when he went down into the waters of the sea, he went down into the belly of a whale. 4 downs. Anyone that disobeys God, I don't care who we are, if we disobey God, it's a trip down. Down, down, down. Sometimes people have to hit bottom before they wake up, come to their senses. Down to Joppa, down in the ship, down in the waters, and down in the belly of the whale. While he was there, the Bible says, and the Bible lets us read between the lines and let us use our own mind, and I don't know what all took place, but I believe in my heart and in my mind, I believe that was not a comfortable ride. I don't believe it was exciting. I've heard people get on some rides at Busch Gardens or wherever. And I was talking to one recently. He said, we went straight up and straight down. And I told him. He's a relative of mine, so I told him. I'm going straight up. Forget about that going down. Amen. When you go about a ride, I imagine, and I don't know, I imagine this backslidden preacher that was headed out, going his own way, I imagine in the belly of that whale, I imagine he had a splitting headache. And I imagine he had an upset stomach. And if you were raised like I was raised, and we didn't have all of this, whatever they have today, the children, my mama believed in cod liver oil. And when she would give it to you, take that lid off, brother, just the smell of cod liver oil. And here is Jonah in the belly of a whale. And the Bible says while he's there, and this is the part I want you to understand, The Bible said as well as they're going through all of this, he remembered God. He began to call on God. He remembered he was called to preach. He remembered that he has an assignment. He's to go to Nineveh. He has a message to deliver. And he calls on God for mercy. And I'll pause one step more here right here. I thank God every day, every day, every day. I thank God for His mercy. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, most of us would not be here today. Many of us would have already been in hell, but for the mercy of God. When I think about it, it's the mercy of God. Hallelujah. 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 Jonah cries out to God. A preacher that has gone the wrong direction. And yet God heard his prayer. Thank God. Thank God. The Bible lets me to know that what is there in the belly of a whale is mine now because of what is going through. He begins to think about God. I would to God today that everyone that's gone away from God, I would to never begin to think about God. People think about everything except God, seems like. He got his mind on God and began to pray. Had a prayer meeting in the belly of a whale on the water of Earth's coaster. Praying and asking God for mercy. God gave him a second chance. Now some of you were here. One night, some years ago, we were having some kind of occasion, and I don't remember what it was. We're out in the gym. For that occasion, and we'd asked Jay Strickland to speak that night. And Jay spoke, and the topic of his talk was the God of the Second Chance. Maybe some of you remember it. But I'm standing here today because there's a God of the Second Chance. I deserved hell. I deserved an eternity. Without hope, because I was saved and went back on God. I was saved and had a real experience with God. But then in the service I got away from God, not because the service was so hard, but because I didn't keep my eyes on God. A man can live for God in the service. Or anywhere else, if they serve God. But God gave me another opportunity, and I thank Him for it today. And the Bible says in that second chapter, that God spoke to the fish. I knew He did that before, but when I read it again and read it again, it amazes me. God spoke to the fish. What language? And the fish understood what He said. And the fish, the Bible says, vomited Him out at the shore. Now, stay with me right here for a moment. You want to see a pretty sight. A backslidden holiness preacher, 3 days in the belly of the whale, not cod liver oil, but just as bad. And now the whale has vomited him out, the Bible says, on the shore. But he said these words, God, if you have mercy, if you'll forgive me, if you'll let me out of this wheel, I'll go to Nineveh. I'll preach whatever you want me to preach. I promise you, God, I'll keep my vows. I'll do what you want me to do, God. I promise you, God, sometimes things might have to happen in order for people to realize serving God's the best way to go. Whatever it is that comes our way. If it's God's way to wake us up and to just, listen, you remember the sermon that Brother Paul didn't preach the other Sunday evening, that we need to get desperate, get down to business with God. I believe that Jonah got desperate. I imagine before that third day was over, he was already getting desperate. He was getting down to God, please, please, please. If you'll only get me out, I'll keep my vows, I'll serve you, Lord, I'll obey you, Lord, I'll live for you, Lord. And when God had the big fish to disperse him on the shore, no longer was he interested in Tarsus. No longer was he interested in finding a ship going somewhere else. He made, I like the old way to say, he made a beeline for Nineveh. Headed for the city of Nineveh. I wish I could tell you he had the right spirit all the time. But God was working on Jonah, hadn't finished with him yet. And the Bible says he suffered all of that for his own doings, of his own reasoning, because of his disobeying God, going the way that he wanted to. But when you come to that third chapter, God gave him the second chance. He said, I'll go preach. And he heard it from Nineveh. Listen to God's message. God told him to go tell Nineveh that you're a sinful city. You're a wicked city. And because of that, judgment's coming. Now, I want you to listen to what I say now. I am not here to put down any church nor any denomination. I am not the judge. I believe the Bible preaches holiness. I believe it. But there's a lot of preachers today that have been unable to preach what Jonah preached. Jonah did not go into Nineveh preaching something to make them feel good. That was not his desire. Jonah did not go to say, look for something good to happen today. Jonah didn't go saying that we are all the children of God. You're okay and I'm okay. They're preaching that on the TV waves today. Want to make you feel good. I want to make you feel good. And if you really want to feel good, serve God with all of your heart. Amen. And the Bible says that he started in the city, and I'm not going to go through the whole story because I'm going to have the men folks around the altar to do it, but I want you to understand as he enters into the city, the reason that he didn't go at first, he says, because I knew if I went there, God, that you're such a good God, and if they would turn, you'd forgive them. Then I look like a fool. I said, you're going to bring judgment, and if I preach, and they repent, and you'll forgive them, and here I'll be standing, looking like, where'd you come from? God said, go preach. Let them know they're wicked and sinful. Now as he went into the city preaching, walking, preaching, the Bible says that they began to listen to what he was saying. They heard the message. And from the king to his cabinet to the man in the marketplace in the street, they began to call on God, and the king said, repent! This man's preaching to us, it's a word from God! Repent! And not only that, he said, everybody fast and pray. Wicked, evil. Everyone fast and pray. If you've got a dog, don't feed him. If you've got a cat, don't feed him. Let them fast and pray too. Let them be joining in. And I see the story. And when I see the story, I think of America. I see Jonah really not anxious for them to repent. He really would like for God to zap them. Some judgment. You deserve it. You hate the Jews. You deserve punishment. You deserve judgment. And as he was preaching, God had mercy. And the Bible said the city repented. The city called on God. And rather than judgment, God gave revival. Let me leave something with you today. Our church, I've asked you to fast and pray. I realize so much is happening in this day. I've never known a day like it in my life. The ministry is so much different than today. In July the 19th, we will have been in the ministry. Since July the 19th, 1959, we will have been in the ministry 54 years next month. When we went into the ministry, it seemed like no services hardly after a while. It seemed like somebody's getting saved and God was blessing and healing. In the first church that we pastored, so many, I'm talking about outstanding healing. People got in and served God. You preached holiness and lined up. Yes. You preached holiness and they didn't get mad. Uh-huh. They do. Yes. You preach that some things you ought not to do. Well, Brother Jones, that's just old fashioned. I'll tell you what, the old times have revival. God, give us the same. They began to fast and pray and call out to God. And God in His mercy, they was a wicked city, that was a wicked city. But God said in His mercy, He said, I will spare the city. I will spare the city. And He answered the prayer. They repented and God forgave them. Listen to what I tell you. God did not send judgment for 100 years in Nineveh. I look at America, and I'm not a politician, and I'm not here to preach a social gospel at all. But I'm going to share one or two things with you today. America is going fast, getting away from God. When we have allowed so much, when we read about the Antichrist changing the times and the laws and the rest, we're changing in America the very meaning of marriage. Everything's being changed. And America's going fast away from God. And the only hope is that Nineveh repent and call on God. And I'm here to tell you, He's still in control. Hallelujah. He's still the God of the heavens. Amen. He's the God of the universe. He's God. And there is another. He's still in control. He's almighty. Our God can do anything. I believe God can give America a revival. Hallelujah. I believe God can shake America. And I'm asking Him to do it. You said, Brother Jones, that's sort of cruel. If it would bring revival, brother, I would like them to shake it from one end to the other. California to New York City, from Key West, Florida to Bar Harbor, Maine. Everywhere in between, including Hampton, Virginia. Shake the world! Shake them out! It'll cause them to turn back to God. I believe if something doesn't happen, many will go to hell without another opportunity. Lost forever. And America has gotten away from God. When I was born 82 years ago today, there'd been revival in America. Holy Ghost revival. Churches established. When our family moved here from North Carolina when I was 10 months old, they found a Holiness Church. We lived in Fox Hill. They didn't have one. They didn't have one in Hampton. They couldn't find one. We drove all the way to Newport News. They just started the church. Just before that, 1929, the Holiness Church, Pentecostal Holiness Church. Newport News, and we drove there. As long as I was at home and as long as my daddy lived. That's where we went to church, to that church, and then he moved to Greenwood. But the reason I'm telling you this is, and this is so important, a lot of people think that they're going to any church is all right. It's not. If the church is not preaching the truth, it's the truth that sets us free. And so I'm going to close in a few moments. And this is so important to me. My prayer is, God, give a bundle of tabernacle. Us. Me. My wife. I look around this church and there's so many that need a healing touch. And I've seen, my wife and I have seen healings. But it's almost, when you tell people, it's almost hard to believe. But what I'm telling you is, the same God that healed then is still God today. And the God that delivered Nineveh from sin and saved and spared their lives for another 100 years still loves America. He's still concerned about America. I haven't given up on America. I realize it's going the wrong direction. We've got leaders in the state, in the city, and in the state, in the nation, in the capital. We've got leaders leading in the wrong direction. Things are falling apart. But we're telling you that that's God. And things can happen. Hallelujah. Somebody was talking to me last week about revival. And I said, do you remember what Gypsy Smith said? Somebody said, Gypsy Smith, you have revivals, such great revivals. How do you get revivals to come to where you are? How do you get revivals where you are? He said, go home. Get in the closet. Get a chalk. Draw a circle. Get in the circle. That's God to send revival in that circle. You're praying for revival in the nation. That's God to send it in that circle. If you have revival, it'll spill over. I don't have any chalk to get out to slip out this morning. But God, help us all in a draw circle. Go to fasting and praying and seeing God. If we don't have revival, some of our loved ones will end up in hell. some of our family members will spend an eternity in the torments of the damned. If we don't have revival in this last hour, there'll be people that go out of here never knowing, never knowing that the power of God manifests like He wants to manifest it. Thank God that it was done. For everything is done. I'm not delivering anything is done. Thank God. When I got to the hospital Friday evening, when Crawford comes to church, he has oxygen all the time and has an oxygen producer machine all the time. He was hooked up all kind of ways, and he had the mask on, oxygen mask. And all of a sudden, as we was talking about the things of God, he reached up and took it off and laid it down. He was hooked up to the desk. About a half a minute or so, the lady came in. She saw that he was, nothing was wrong. He was talking slowly and we were rejoicing. She picked up the mask and laid it up over here, turned the oxygen off. I stayed about a half an hour talking about the goodness of God, what God has done in our lives, how God is blessed, what God is able to do. Let me leave this with you today. I don't believe God healed my woman. I believe God was there. I believe God can heal the lungs and his heart and his head. You know, I believe God in the Most High can heal him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everything whole. What do you say, preacher? If God delivered Nineveh, he can deliver America. Church, whatever we do, I don't know the future. I believe the Lord's coming. I don't know really how much longer we have. But if the Lord takes it all, pray, pray, pray for the move of God. I'm closing. Come on to the piano, honey, so I'm going to stop. As a boy, we would go to North Carolina to visit our grandparents. My dad's parents and my mother's parents were Pentecostal folks. They came into Pentecostalism at the turn of the last century in the great Holy Ghost revival. There were times when, as a boy, we'd go to the table. I didn't understand it. My grandfather's not eating today. He would just sip some warm water. I thought maybe his stomach was hurting. I didn't know. Later on, I learned that my grandfather, having raised 9 children, having been an officer in the Pentecostal Free Will Baptist Church, treasurer for 50 years in the Wapa District in North Carolina, he was fasting and praying for his children to be saved. I didn't understand it. There were times in my life as I was growing up when it seemed like Mama wasn't hungry today. You boys go ahead and eat. Have something for us. I didn't understand it as a child. I've heard about fasting, but they didn't broadcast it. And I'm not here to broadcast it today. But I believe if we're born the right tabernacle, if we'll seek God, earnest in their hearts, like Brother Paulden preached, I believe He'll do for us what He did for Nineveh. I believe He's still the answer. I believe He's still God. And He loves us. And I close. It took something tragic to get Jonah to wake up. Some things have happened in the lives of some of you. I don't know what it will take for my family. I've got family members. For some of my families, I don't know what it will take. I'll tell you what my prayer is. Whatever it takes, God, let it happen. Because You're merciful. And if You bring them to God, if they make it to heaven, they'll be worth more than anything in this world. Will you stand together with me? I'm going to sing, honey. Someone to care. Someone to share. Someone to care. 132 in the course book. God is still God. And He loves us. We're going to sing it, and while we're singing it, I notice the time while we're singing it, I'm going to ask all the fathers, all the men in the church. In the church. I'd like you to step out while we're singing it and just come and stand with me on this Father's Day. When you do that, sing it with me, everyone. Someone to care, someone to share all your troubles.
one more time. Listen to the words you're singing, everybody. Will someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do? He'll come down from the skies, crush those tears from your eyes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing with us. Sing it with us one more time. Sing to worship God. Oh, someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Will you bow your heads? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that's been set aside in America to honor the fathers of our land. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, for those that have blazed the trail, spiritually speaking, those that have preached the old-time Bible holiness, those, God, that have held the banner high, those that have preached Pentecost and living right in our generation. I pray, God, bless the people. Thank you for the men, folks, of this church. I'm asking, God, even now, lay your hands upon them. Everyone that's here today, everyone, God, standing around this altar, even now, God, have your divine will in their hearts and their lives. Minister in a real way. Bless them, I pray. Help them to realize that they are the priest of their household. They do not lord it over the wife at all. No, sirree. But they're the priest of the household. And they need to lead the lead, the children unto God. Help them, I pray, God. Everyone, every man, every father around this altar today, have your divine will. We'll give you praise and glory for all that you do. We love you, we love you, we love you while you're standing here. And before Missy comes with something from the youth, let me leave this with you today. Men, folks, fathers, let me leave it with you today. If America needs one thing today with revival, America needs fathers that love God. We've come to a place because of the lack of discipline in the school. I found out this week that Matthew's teacher, that is a good teacher and attends my brother's church in Newport News, is leaving the teaching position because lack of discipline. You can't say anything. You can't do anything. And we've got a world that's gone mad. And I'll tell you, the answer is fathers that love God, men that love God, that will hold the banner high and be the priest of your household and lead your children. Let me just leave one other thought, and I appreciate all of you. God bless you. Words are not enough. You can talk to your children, you can talk to your loved ones, but words are not. The most important thing you can do is live it every day. Live it every day. In the good times and the bad, live it every day. If things go wrong, have the victory in your soul. Have the joy in your soul. There'll be some problems. There'll be some troubles. There'll be some misunderstandings. There'll be some heartaches. But as a Christian father and a Christian man, be that which God would have you to be. Our world needs someone. They need you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you again, minister in a real way to these that are standing and the ladies, God. All, have your divine will on this Father's Day. Bless them, I pray, God. Help them to hold the banner high. Hallelujah. Be faithful. Be loyal. Stay in there. Whatever comes our way, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, God. Bless them, I pray. Missy. Ladies. Young people. All the men folks are standing here. Thank God. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Thank God. Men, this might be the last Father's Day that I'll ever be here. I don't know what the future's going to hold. It might be the last Father's Day that some of you might ever live. Every year, some are called out of our congregation. I don't know. But whatever you do, serve God. Be the example in your home. Let your children see what it really means to love God and serve God. And the Lord bless you so good. We love you, we love you, we love you. Tom, would you pray dismissal prayer? Thank God. Thank God. My God. Give us one more Holy Ghost revival, God. Spirit of God. Glory, glory.